Nylander is an honorable mention
because of who I have number 10. Clayton Keller is number
10. You're crazy. I like Clayton Keller. He is not a top 10 winger in the league.
Ooh, okay, this might be a little bit crazy. I'm going 1 Dallas, 2 Colorado, 3 Minnesota.
That's crazy.
I think Minnesota gets in.
The Jets love Connor Hellebuck.
I know. Welcome to the Checking From Behind podcast. I'm your host, Zach, as always, joined by my co-host, Preston. It feels actually very weird to be recording on the day before. Well, we usually record on the day before
that
we release an episode, but this is coming out the morning before instead of...
Yeah.
Because we usually record on Saturday, and it goes to Sunday at 7 p.m., and it's going to be out Monday at 6 a.m. So if you guys like the 6 a.m. episodes better, let us know and maybe we'll figure stuff out. But anyways, so let's hop right into our quick hitters. We only have a couple news items to go over. First up, Kaapo Kakko ended up re-signing with the Kraken. Well, was this the arbitration hearing or was this the...
No, they avoided arbitration.
Okay, they avoided
Nobody's had any hearings yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kraken get him under contract 3x$4.525 million per season. And my first thoughts, great contract if he plays like how he did after he got traded to Seattle. Even if he's just a 50-point player for his tenure in Seattle for this contract.
That's completely fine. For that cap pit, that's a good value, yeah.
I like it. And now, granted, do I think that he can reach his full potential in Seattle? Possibly because, listen, Seattle, they're not under a ton of pressure, right? I know the spotlight's on them in terms of they're not great, but coming from New York, where there's a lot of pressure on you, they're not great.
Especially
for development.
Being the second overall pick in this draft, and I don't think he's lived up to the hype of being the second overall pick either.
No, he hasn't. But you know what? Like, you've talked about this a lot. You preached a lot last summer too, where got to stop putting so much lofty expectations on guys coming into the league right away at 18, 19, 20 years old. And I get Kaapo Kakko, he's 23 or 24?
Yeah, but I mean, in New York, a lot of the times, he wasn't really giving many chances to succeed. He wasn't being really played in the top six. He was playing a lot of bottom 6 minutes. Sometimes he'd be on the fourth line. And he was in the doghouse a lot with the coaches. And, you know, they didn't really have great coaches that really elevated young players in like Gerard Gallant and Peter Laviolette. So he never, I don't ever really think he got a fair shake.
No, he never got a fair shot in New York. And I remember when he first came into the league, it was him. And then a couple years later in 2020, it was Alexis Lafreniere. And it was like, oh, the Rangers, they didn't really go through anything, right? They got gifted like these two guys. And even though they were bad for Kaapo Kakko's pick second overall, but with Lafreniere, got gifted with the bubble and everything like that. And it's like, okay, the New York Rangers didn't have to go through this full rebuild. They have young talent. They had Keandre Miller, too, who they drafted around Lafreniere as well. And all of a sudden, they don't use any of these players properly.
Well, they also have Philip Chiedle, too, who's a good young player. Now the only one they have left is Lafreniere.
And I think, he hasn't done so great in New York.
Yeah, but he's the only one left, really, of all those young guys they drafted.
And going to the Kaapo Kakko stuff, I think if he can thrive in Seattle, I think it's best case scenario because sometimes players just need to get out of the spotlight, like we said, but also just need to go find their game. And playing with a bunch of young guys in Seattle, I know they have a ton of vets as well, but going and playing
they're an interesting team.
This might be the most average team in the NHL right now. They have a 3 second line centers, I think. They have I think Jared McCann is a fringe first line guy, but I think on most teams he is a second line guy.
Yeah, on a good team he'd be a second line winger.
And I think Kaapo Kakko right now, you could fit him on a second line on a good team too. So Seattle, they're in an interesting spot, but overall I think they finally hit the nail on the head. That's the saying, hit the...
Yeah, that's a saying,
Okay, hit the nail on the head with the signing because every other signing I didn't like for them.
I mean, I still have issues with the defensive core and their goaltending is still not good either. Joey Decord should be their starter. They're not giving up a Philip Grubauer, but still, I wouldn't, even with Decord being my starter, I wouldn't feel great about that. He's okay. I'd be okay if he was like my backup, but Philip Grubauer, I would not feel comfortable starting him.
I would even be okay if Joey Decord was splitting time with another goalie 50-50 games. But that's just me.
They probably should have bought out Philip Grubauer, but you know what? What's the difference between this year and next year?
And then they got Jason Botterill as their GM. RIP Seattle fans, if there's any of you guys out there. The next signing, Jackson Blake, ended up signing an extension with the Hurricanes, an 8x$5.625 million deal. The cap hit is really $5.1 million because of some deferred money. For you guys that don't know, after September 16th of 2026, you can no longer defer money with the new CBA, so they got that done beforehand. bravo to the Hurricanes. One of the best defensive forwards in the league. A very above average offensive player. And honestly, he has the potential to be one of the better two-way players in the game. Of course, he's super young. And maybe that's a Carolina effect where just Rod Brendamore's system hyping up forwards to be a little bit more defensive.
Well, I think he was a player that came right into that system. Just like was a natural fit. And, you know, the Hurricanes are not afraid to put him out in big situations. And Rod Brendamore trusts him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this 8-year contract really shows you how much the organization, like how much faith they have in him. And 5.1, I think that's a little bit high right now, but I think that's a contract that's going to age well the further you go on to it.
You think, I mean, I get it's high right now because it's coming off a rookie year, but I look at this as this, I'm not going to compare this to the Owen Powers or the Jake Sanderson's contract, but this is kind of a contract where you're signing Jackson Blake off his potential, and it might not be a 7x7 or an 8x8 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but it's still okay, you're going to be a second-line guy, a middle six guy for us. You're going to be one of the better defensive forwards in the league, and we trust you to be a part of this core for the next 8+ seasons. And
I mean, that is kind of wild. They give a guy that played a year in the league, 8-year deal right away.
But you know what? Listen, yeah. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, especially at a cap hit coming at only a little bit over, well, $5.5 million.
Well, I'm looking at his stats from this year, and, you know, he had a good, like, he had 34 points in 80 games for Carolina as a rookie, and then, you know, 13:51 minutes of ice time. But the thing that stands out to me in the playoffs is ice time went up. It went up by almost 4 minutes a game.
The team trusts him.
Yeah, and that's for a rookie to play that much in the playoffs. A, kind of says maybe their depth's not the greatest, and B, they trust him a lot.
I think it says more about the player than the depth.
I agree, but it's not ideal a lot of the times to have a rookie be playing that much.
I mean, he played good. So.
Oh, he was good. I'm not saying he didn't earn it. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying.
I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, especially a team that's contending for a Stanley mm-hmm. Cup. It's not like a team that barely squeaks in, but has a bunch of young guys like Montreal. No diss at them, by the way. But
just, well, I mean, two very different situations.
Right.
Yeah.
Carolina, veteran-led team, a veteran-led coach.
And I think they did go out and address some of that, you know, those issues. Like, I think the Ehlers contract was a home run, no-brainer. I think that's a great fit for player and
yep.
team. Good contract, like literally zero issues with that signing. Beautiful. Out of all the signings you could have looked at in free agency, like that one made the most sense.
And that was probably one of the best. Getting him at 8.5, right around where his value was on the market too.
I mean, it's a 7-year deal, so it might not age the greatest. You know, as he gets older, the contract's up mm-hmm. when he's, I believe, 36 years old.
No, it's up when he's 35. It's a 6-year deal.
Oh, okay, my bad.
You're good.
But still. You know, you're always taking a little bit of risk, you know, with those long-term deals on the veteran players, but mm-hmm. you're paying for him what he can do right now. And, like, they feel their cup window is very much wide open right now, and they still have a ton of cap space.
They have one of the most cap space.
They have 10.6 right now, and mm-hmm. they're in really good shape for the future. They have a lot of their guys locked up long-term. The only contract that I see really go like, oh, God, is the Jesperi Kotkaniemi contract, which has not aged very well.
Yeah, he's so... So it's 5 more years at 4.8.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 25. He has time, I guess.
I mean, does he?
I mean, I would have much rather have them have Jack Roslovic than Kotkaniemi.
I mean, they could still bring Roslovic
back.
That's
true, but he's looking for like a 3-year deal.
I don't see Carolina giving him a 3-year deal. I think honestly, this, I don't know if this might be a little wild. I think next year, if Kotkaniemi has another disappointing year, I think he's a buyout candidate.
I was about to think that. Yeah, I think he's a buyout candidate. And honestly, outside of that contract, all of their contracts are bargains. Your highest paid player is Aho at 9.75.
Yeah, he's easily worth like 11,
and,
12,
right,
I think.
And now you look at other guys like Ehlers is under, Svechnikov, Jarvis, and then you go to the defense.
Jacob Slavin at 6.3. What a steal.
What? And then I get Keandre Miller still has time to develop. He's only at 7.5.
I think he's going to be really good in Carolina right away.
He is. And Sean Work is at 3.6, who's a solid second pair defenseman for them. So
their defense core scares me a little bit. I still don't think this team is good enough to win a Stanley Cup next year.
That was my next question. Do you think they, well, I was going to ask if they're good enough to compete for a Stanley Cup, at least out of the East.
I think they'll still be like a contender in the East, and I think they have a really good chance to win the Metropolitan Division. You know, if the Caps don't have another crazy year, I think like that the Devils are going to be really competitive with them. I think those two are really the two teams like racing for the mm-hmm. Metro. But to me, I still don't think this team could beat a team like Florida.
Carolina might be a team that's gonna I guess, mulch on a weak Metro division, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Nope,
they're definitely a playoff team for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
but, and then their goaltending is another thing that concerns me. Freddie Anderson, like, when he's on the ice, he's great, but he's not on the ice all the time. He's had injury concerns. He, you know, he's back for another year. Kutchikov is kind of shaky as a starter.
I would love to see him get another year. Just obviously, he's going to be behind Freddie Anderson this year, but I think after the season, he could be ready, especially if he takes the next step. Because again, it takes time for goalies to develop. I mean,
yeah, he's 26, so you know, he should be getting right around that age where, you know, he should be ready to go. Because last year, he did play 47 games. He was the primary starter because Freddie Anderson missed so much time. 898 save percentage, 2.60 goals against average. Not really what you would want to see out of a starting goalie.
No,
don't want sub 900.
No, you don't, especially playing backup minutes. And he held in there for when Freddie Anderson was out for a game.
He did good
enough.
I mean, they play good enough defensively. My issue with this team has just been scoring.
Their scoring at times can be rough. They have a great penalty kill, one of the best in the entire league.
They're at their best when they're playing. Like, I think that series against Washington was them at their best when, you know, they're going to have, like, I think game one was a really good example where they had like 50 shots on net. Mm-hmm. How many of them were good shots? Not many, but they just kept going and going. They did not let up their forecheck.
And then you know what? They found one, they found two, and it's a 3-1 game. They're winning 1-0. And then you go against a team like Florida that isn't scared of you, that makes adjustments on the fly. They make mid-fucking game adjustments where they're just.
I think they have better defense and they have better goaltending as well.
They do, and
better scoring
depth.
Yeah.
I think the difference between Carolina and Florida, it's not that far, but I think it is the goaltending. I think that's the one difference. If you put Bobrovsky on Carolina, I think they can push Florida to 7 games.
I don't know. I still think they have a history in the playoffs of their scoring depth not showing up.
Yeah, they do have that history, and I see that argument, but I don't know. Maybe,
like, I know, like, a few years ago when they played the Rangers, like, Igor Shesterkin was just playing out of his mind.
I felt like Carolina should have won that series.
And they almost came back, but too little too late. But yeah, they just ran into Igor playing literally the best hockey of his life.
Yeah, they did. It's just, if you're a Carolina fan, it just has to pain you too.
They're the Buffalo Bills of the NHL. They're great. They're a playoff team every year. You can't get over the hump.
They get past the first round. They occasionally get past the second round, and they can't just get into the finals. Even if they lose in the finals, they just can't get
there. I think
them
just getting there would be a huge step for this team, or even not getting your ass kicked in the conference final.
If you take Florida or Toronto or whoever,
like, the seven games
in overtime,
that's
too,
progress.
That is
progress. But this is a team that I think they're cup or bust, honestly, just with where they've been these last few years. Your window's only going to stay open for so long.
I think their window's open for another 5 years, at least.
It depends on the
really
goaltending. It depends what life is like after Frederick Anderson.
If Kochetkov ends up developing into the goaltender they think he's going to be, window's open for 6 years.
Oh, I agree with you, but if he's not and he's like a backup,
then
you're...
Then this team's second-round exit most years?
Yep.
Or if they're second in the Metro or third in the Metro at some point.
It's
going to
be them
in
Jersey for a while, I think.
Them in Jersey, and they're
I can even see Columbus in a few years getting into that conversation as well. I think they're on a really good trajectory, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Let's hop into some Minnesota stuff. Last summer, we were gassing Billy G up.
He proved us right. They made the playoffs last year.
And I remember that you were 50-50 on them, making the playoffs. You're like, if... You know, this team can put it together. You can see them making the playoffs. I don't know if you picked them or not, but that's besides the point. I was on the Minnesota bandwagon, as you guys all know. I was like, Billy G, you're doing a phenomenal job. Billy G, you're doing a fucking horrible job. What are we doing, dude? Where I'm going with this is Marco Rossi and the Wild haven't talked on a deal in like 3 weeks. Some reports.
Did he file for arbitration?
Nope.
Okay. I don't think he's eligible, actually.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
You have... Marco Rossi, he wants a 6.5-7 year deal, right? He wants to be in Minnesota for 7-8 years. Minnesota's not even coming in at $6 million.
I don't get why they undervalue him so much. I don't get it. I mean, I get you have to spend a lot of money on Kirill Kaprizov. We'll get to that in a minute, but because the further that goes, the more I don't like what's going on there.
Yeah,
but you know, you have a player in Marco Rossi who, for some reason, the Wild are very... The thing that perplexes me about him is they're very low on wanting to pay him, but then they have huge demands in a trade.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, clearly you value the player if you're asking for all these assets back in a trade, but you don't want to pay him? Even if it's a 2 or 3 year contract, just a bridge, just to get him playing?
Make it make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I heard their main issue is he's a smaller player and they don't feel comfortable with that.
Fucking cry me a river.
I mean, he had 60 points in 82 games last year, an improvement from 40 and 82 the year before. So the kid's getting better.
I have an argument for this.
This is his second full season in the NHL as well.
Okay. So I have a couple problems with some, not stuff that you said, but just in general of what's going on. Number one, they put Marco Rossi on the fourth line playing 11 fucking minutes a night if he was lucky in the playoffs. And everybody wants to bring up, he didn't play well in the playoffs. No fucking shit. He's playing with Trennan and whoever else on the fourth line. Like, no shit. Second, everybody thinks that he shouldn't be paid as much as Matt Boldy because Matt Boldy has had a phenomenal last 2 years. But go ahead.
But you look at what Matt Boldy is when they gave him that contract. He was kind of in the same spot.
He was.
He had a 40-point season his first full year in the league, and then he had a 69-point season. His second – wait, hold on. I'm getting this wrong. Okay, 40 points, then 63 his second year. And then everyone was like, oh, now that makes sense why they gave him that contract. He's kind of on that same trajectory. And Matt Boldy, I thought he was one of the better players. He was one of the best players in the whole first round, in my opinion.
What's his height and weight?
He is 6'2". That is the difference, I think.
That's a stupid difference.
He's 6'2", 201, and Boldy's 5'9", 182. So about a 20-pound difference. Yeah, and
they're
pretty
scared
significant
of that.
Height
they're,
difference.
They're,
yeah.
They're scared of that.
I mean, but he hasn't had injury concerns, in my opinion. He has played two full seasons back-to-back. He's not missed a game. Physicality doesn't seem to be an issue, considering he had 60 points last year, 24 goals. I don't see why they don't want to keep him around.
And his underlying analytics, people are going to hate this, what I'm going to say, but his underlying analytics are better than Matt Boldy's.
Everything that says about this player is he's a star in the mm-hmm. making.
Yes, and everything that he's showing Matt Boldy showed at his same exact age. Mm-hmm. They're only 1 year apart, which means if this development keeps going on, Matt Boldy is a 70-point player next season. And you know what? Even if Matt Boldy doesn't want let's say he wants an 8-year deal, but Minnesota's like, we don't want to give you an 8-year deal, whatever. If I'm Matt Boldy, say, fuck you, give me a 2x5.5.
I have a feeling the longer this goes on, I mean, they'll figure something out because I think it's stupid for both sides for the player to not be playing, mm-hmm. even if it's just a 1-year deal, just to continue, just figure it out next year and see what goes on because... You know, let's say they do just give him like a 1-year deal and it's like $5 million, $5.5 million cap, and then he goes out and has 70 points next year, and then the Wild are even more fucked.
Yes. Instead of being like, okay, here's a 7x7, same as Boldy, it's like now he's asking for an 8x8. Or an, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't see the vision.
I think he's arbitration eligible next season too, if I'm not mistaken.
He might be, but he's definitely not because he's coming off an ELC.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, so he's not eligible right now.
No, he's not right now.
But then he also did the same thing with Brock Faber, who after a year. So yeah, so this is okay. So this is, when did he sign this contract? He signed it
a year and a half ago.
He signed it last summer.
Okay.
So he signed this 8-year deal after 82 game season, 47 points at 8.5. He kind of regressed this year statistically,
mm-hmm.
played more ice time, but you know, 29.78 games compared to 47.82. I know he's a defenseman, stats don't mean everything for that, but you know, that's the thing that gets me with Guerin is he's shown with Boldy and Brock Faber that he's willing to like pay these young guys now and just not worry about in the future. But for some reason, Rossi is just that guy they have the issue with.
They just, Billy G needs to get his head out of his ass, and I don't know, and this irks me too because you'd think that they'd be saving up for Kirill Kaprizov and be like, okay, we're not going to pay him as much because we have to give $15 million to Kaprizov. They haven't even fucking started talking about an extension yet, according to reports.
Yeah, I don't like that. So it might be just that Kaprizov's just like, I don't want to talk a contract right now.
Yeah, that could be it.
And, you know, very, very fair. You know, Kaprizov, to me, I think he knows how important he is to that team. And he knows that if he doesn't play, they don't work very well.
It was clear this season.
Oh, because, yeah, the first half of the year, MVP candidate, like the Wild were shocking. They were first place in the division, like keeping pace with the Jets, who were having an insane start to the season. And I was like, oh, my God, why are these teams so good? These guys so good. And then, I mean, it wasn't just Kaprizov that got hurt. They had a bunch of other injuries. But
yeah.
Kaprizov missed a lot of time, and the team looked way worse when he wasn't playing. And then he comes back, and all of a sudden, they're good again.
Sure, it did hurt having Eriksson Ek out at the same
time. Yeah, no, yeah, that definitely didn't help.
But, like, when I saw a stat when I was working on the TV in the lobby at the ice rink I work at, and this was when Kaprizov originally got hurt, right before he came back, before he went out again, he had, like, 65 or 70% of the team's points, whether it was goals or assists. And he was the reason why they were atop the lead. He was in a heart favorite for a lot of people, including myself.
If he would have played the whole season, I think there's a really good chance he would have won the heart.
Not only, at least at minimum, be a finalist.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But, like, listen, Billy G needs to get it done. And I know there's no rush to, because he still has a year left. And like you brought up, maybe this is a thing where Kaprizov just doesn't want to talk contract right now. Maybe he's willing to play another year and then talk next summer. I don't know.
I really wouldn't. If I'm the Wild, I don't want to get this to next summer, because at the end of the season, because normally you don't do contract talks mid-season. Mm-hmm. I believe you're not even allowed to sign an extension after the trade deadline.
Correct, yeah.
Until the end of the playoffs, mm-hmm. or until your team's done whatever, something like that. So let's say they don't get a deal done, you know, before the deadline. And, you know, it's like, okay, it is what it is. And then let's say the Wild make the playoffs next year. They're a first-round exit, so their season's done, like, beginning of May. You have a month and a half to get a contract done with him.
That'd be rough.
Yeah.
Kaprizov knows he has all the leverage.
Yep.
And if he doesn't like something, he can be like, I'm just walking.
Yeah.
And this isn't a thing where you're obviously not going to go to him in the middle of the season before the deadline and be like, if you're not signing us, we'll trade you. That's not a thing with a guy like Kaprizov. You're keeping him because he gives you the better chance to win hockey games. So you're just getting a tricky situation if you do leave it till next season. Or let's say, for example, he plays 70-plus games this season, puts up 100, 110 points this season, and you wait until next summer to get it done. Now he's asking for $16 million instead mm-hmm. of 15, and now you're even more fucked. So,
well, another thing that perplexes me, too, with the Wild is they go out and trade for Tarasenko. Dude was like a shell of himself, clearly, last year in Detroit, and they take on that full contract, too.
What is it, like 4.5 or something?
4.75.
And what? Do the Wild think that, okay, we're going to trade him at the deadline?
This is the same team that traded for Nyquist last year, and the only thing that he contributed was going off sides when they could have stole a game in Vegas.
Yeah, and they gave up a second-round pick for him. I'm so, so sorry I defended that trade.
Yeah, I remember when you defended that trade. I was like, what are you talking about? Why? This is horrible.
That was rough. That was a
stupid trade.
Yeah.
And, yeah, everyone knows that now, but you know, I guess they wanted a veteran piece for what they thought was going to be a deep playoff run.
And he clearly did absolutely nothing.
No, he was non-existent for them.
I'm sure teams were probably asking about Nyquist, but they're like, we'll give you a fourth-round pick at best. And Minnesota's like, here's a second.
And they're like, shit, here you go.
Like, where did he come from? Nashville?
Yeah.
I'm sure Barry Trotz was like, don't mind if we do. He probably didn't even ask for the second, honestly. I don't really know.
I don't know. We don't know. Maybe there could have been a bidding war for him. I'm sure teams were interested in him, but a second-round pick, I think, is a lot.
Yeah. Either way, though, Billy G, get your head out of your ass. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they're in an interesting spot this year. I think they're a wild card team at best, but if Kaprizov's gone... Well, let's say this just happens. Just one more hypothetical. Like, this is all we're going to talk about all summer, is just hypothetical shit.
Yeah.
Let's say that, you know, you have Rossi. Let's say the Wild do end up trading him. And maybe you don't get the players you want back. You get picks or, like, prospects or stuff like that. Yada, yada, yada. Or you get, like, some decent second, third line players. You don't get that first line player you want back in its return, which is what they want. And then he's on. And then Kaprizov walks. You're fucked.
You have no Rossi. You have no Kaprizov. You're stuck there. Love Matt Boldy to death. He's not a
franchise centerpiece.
No.
The real Kaprizov is.
Matt Boldy is the type of guy you want to surround Kaprizov with. Great talent like that. And if you have no Kaprizov, no Rossi, you're fucked. You're honestly fucked. Like, you're not competitive at all. You're not even competitive when Kaprizov just misses time due to injury. Love Eriksson Ek. He's a franchise centerman in terms of he can be a supporting cast for a superstar. Well,
he's like a good, really good second line center.
One of the more underrated centers in the league, I will say.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I mean, I think the Wild are missing that, like, number one center.
I think that's the only piece they're honestly missing.
Well, can you imagine, like, if they get, like, a real... I get what Minnesota's trying to do with trading Rossi. Is like, if we can get a chance to bring in a guy that could be that number one center to play with Boldy and Kaprizov, our first line's going to be unstoppable.
But, like, I get you have to get rid of a guy like Rossi like that, but...
Well, if they can get a number one center for Rossi, I think that's a great trade.
Yeah, of
and
course.
But that means you have to keep Kaprizov. And maybe Kaprizov saying something like, well, I want a center.
That could be a thing, too. And I look at this as, I think that just Rossi is, I think he has first-line potential. I'll say that.
I agree with you, but
Maybe the team doesn't see him as that. Maybe they look at him as a second-line guy. Maybe they look at Eriksson-Ek as a second-line guy, and they're like, maybe if we throw Rossi on the third line, Eriksson-Ek's our second-line guy, and then you have a first-line guy, which they think they might be missing. Like, it's hard to get a first-line center nowadays, unless it's through the draft.
You have to draft them. Very rarely do they become available in a trade.
Right.
Unless the Sabres want to trade Tage Thompson in a couple of years or something.
At that point, you're going to have to get Kaprizov on the contract.
That's a conversation for another day. But Minnesota, yeah, I don't know what you're doing, Billy G. You got to get your shit together. You're going to get canned.
Yeah, if you fumble this Kaprizov stuff, you're gone. Guaranteed. If Kaprizov is not a Minnesota Wild,
the fans will like revolt the team.
This would be the same thing like when we talked about when Igor Shesterkin was coming up. It's like, people will go to the arena and fucking riot, dude. Mm-hmm. It'll be that bad. Especially with Minnesota sports.
They're diehards. Yeah, they're diehards in Minnesota for hockey. They call it the state of hockey for a reason.
Yeah, they can kill you.
Yeah.
Crazy. Quick time out before we get back to the episode, you beauties. As someone like myself who's in the fitness and needs a little bit of an extra boost before a lift, or maybe I need just a little bit of energy before my next hockey game, and even when doing pod stuff to bring you guys the best content possible, W always has me covered. Whether you need it to stay awake at work or need a little bit of a jolt to get you through the day, W will always provide you that spark you need. There's no sugar, no crash, no artificial flavors or artificial dyes, just flavored caffeine. 150 milligrams of caffeine in one serving, which is equivalent to 2 cups of coffee. Make sure to head over to W.GG and use code CFBPOD for 10% off any order. I know we did a few episodes ago, our way too early predictions was kind of on spot with Chris. Let's dive a little bit more into it if you're cool with that.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even remember what I said.
Yeah, I don't either. So let's do this. I was thinking of doing our playoff predictions in terms of we pick who the three in each division plus our wildcard teams is, right? We don't have to go too much in depth if we don't want to, but then we go into who we think right now can go to the finals and potentially win the cup.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Sick. All right. Do you want to go first? I'll go first. Doesn't matter.
We do an East or West first.
Let's do East.
Okay. I guess we'll start with the Atlantic. So I think Florida wins that division.
Yeah.
2, Toronto; 3, Tampa.
Yeah, I'm going Florida 1, Toronto 2. I'm still sticking with Ottawa 3.
Okay.
And then wild card. Oh, sorry. Do you want to go top 3 Metro?
Yeah, let's do top 3 Metro. I think Carolina wins that division. 2 is New Jersey. And then 3, I'm going to say Columbus.
I'm the same top 3 as last year, except Carolina 1, Devils 2, Capitals 3. I think the Capitals regressed a little bit, but I don't think they're worse than Columbus.
Okay, and then wild cards, I'm going to have Ottawa and Washington.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay and Montreal. I think Columbus just missed out. I think they missed out by a point or two. I do.
Yeah, I mean, Montreal's a team. I think they could edge out Washington for me as well. I think Washington's not going to be as good as they were last year.
I don't think they'll be as good. I still think Logan Thompson is a phenomenal talent.
I still think they're a playoff team potentially. Like, yeah, Columbus, I'm just really high on the Blue Jackets right now. That's assuming that Elvis Merzlikins is a reliable starter, but...
I think if you look at the East, too, like, you have those teams that are for sure playoff teams, and then the wild card, I think there's honestly only going to be one spot up for grabs by...
I think Ottawa's... I'm going to say they're a lock.
I think the only team that isn't a lock to get back in this season is probably Montreal. The Capitals are on the fringe, but I think...
I would say Montreal... If Montreal and Washington or either one of them didn't make the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked.
If Montreal didn't make the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. If Washington didn't... Oh, that'd be tough. Maybe I would be a little bit shocked, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God.
If they
made
the playoffs, that means that Columbus took the next step.
Yes, I agree with that take. Over in the Western Conference, in the Central Division, we're going to go, oh my God, I didn't even think this one through.
Do you want me to go while you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Dallas wins that division. 2 Colorado, 3 I think Jets.
Ooh, okay. This might be a little bit crazy. I'm going 1 Dallas, 2 Colorado, 3 Minnesota.
That's crazy.
I think Minnesota gets in.
The Jets love Connor Hellebuck.
I know.
Yeah, no. MVP, back-to-back Vezina Trophy winner.
If they're top three in a division, I might come across as a hater or like non-believer. I did the same thing last year with Winnipeg. I had them as a wildcard team, and they won the fucking President's Trophy.
I mean, I didn't know when you thought they were going to be that good last year. But Connor Hellebuck, he don't miss in the regular season.
I think their team is good enough to make the playoffs for sure. I think
losing Ehlers hurts, but they're still a playoff team in my opinion.
They are. Oh, for sure.
And then in the Pacific, I think we're both going to say the same three teams. I think Vegas wins that division, 2 LA, 3 Edmonton.
I'm going 1 Vegas, 2 Edmonton, 3 LA.
Okay. Yeah. That division is probably the worst division in the league right now.
By far, I think.
I think the Ducks are getting better. Vancouver's a mess. Seattle's a mess.
Calgary.
I think Calgary can be a wild card team.
San Jose, it is your time to prove people wrong.
San Jose is still going to be a bottom feeder next year.
Love you, San Jose. You'll make strides for sure.
The Pacific's getting better, but I don't see any team pushing those three teams out.
Dude, the Pacific division is like the poor man's metropolitan division.
Yeah.
It's rough. It is rough. There's not a way that Calgary can push one of those three teams out of the third spot unless like injuries happen for a long period of time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Edmonton, I think they're just too top heavy for like, regular season for them not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Same thing, LA. And I think LA is more of a chance to fall out of top three than Edmonton because, you know, Darcy Kuemper was lights out last year. Can he repeat that? I don't think he's good. I think he'd still be good enough. But yeah, I think Calgary could potentially push maybe LA out of the top three, but I don't see it happening.
I think LA's depth might be a little bit too much, although Hiller is a horrible coach, at least from what we've seen. So
he got coached by the Oilers.
He did. And plain and simple. Obviously, Vegas is a top two lock, in my opinion.
I'm calling it now. They're winning the division.
I think so. Are we saying they're a lock for the top of the division?
Yeah. I think they're the best team in the Western Conference.
I like that, especially with getting Mitch Marner. All right, wild card teams.
For my wild card teams, I think St. Louis and the Utah Mammoth.
Ooh, I like the Utah Mammoth pick. I think they're going to be better. I'm going Winnipeg 1. The second one is going to be tough. Ooh, I like Utah. I like Calgary. You know, I'm going St. Louis. I'm going Winnipeg 1, St. Louis 2, and I like St. Louis over Calgary just because I think they just have a little bit more scoring in it. They have just as good goaltending as Calgary does, and maybe Calgary plays better defense, but I love Jimmy Snuggerud. I love what they've done up front. And
I think the Blues are in a good spot right now where they have enough young players. I think they have a good veteran young player mix. I don't know if they're good enough to go on a deep playoff run, but you never know.
Yeah, I think St. Louis, if they missed the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. But if they made the playoffs, I'd be like, I expected this too. They're kind of in that same situation for me, like Montreal, but obviously on the different side of the age spectrum, where if Montreal and St. Louis both make the playoffs, repeat what they did last season. But if they miss out by a few points, I wouldn't necessarily be like it's a failure of a season per se.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my take on that.
Yeah, and I think Utah, I think they've had a very aggressive offseason. So this is a team that, to me, feels like they're good enough to make the playoffs. I really like the addition of J.J. Paterka. I think he's going to help that top six scoring a lot. My only issue with that team is goaltending. Yeah, I know you're Connor Ingram
on top 10 season incoming.
Vemelka. He should be the starter, but he's a little shaky.
Yeah,
They have a good tandem if you want, like, two average goaltenders, but I don't know. The West, I mean, Calgary, I think, is going to be in that conversation. Minnesota will be in that conversation for the while. I think Anaheim will also be in that conversation for a while.
Hopping off the Anaheim hate train.
You know, I'm a hater, but they've gotten better.
They have. Yeah. They for sure have. They had a solid offseason, too. Let's hop in the East and the West. We picked one team that we think is going to come out right now. For the East, obviously, we both are going to say Florida, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we said the same thing for the West. I mean, you know, you might say one team for the West, but...
For the East, instead of just doing one, because it's, you know, let's say that for beginning of the season, which teams in the East can realistically go win the Stanley Cup right now then?
Well, obviously, Florida.
Yeah.
Toronto. And Tampa Bay. Those are my three teams.
I like those three. I like Carolina.
Carolina beat Florida, Toronto, or Tampa Bay in the conference final?
But one of those three teams are not making it out of the first round, though.
I know, but one of those teams will probably be in the conference final.
One of those teams will be in the conference final, yeah, for sure. Unless something crazy happens.
And we already know they can't beat Florida.
This is the year. I sound like a Bills fan against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
This is the year. No, yeah. I think Carolina, they would have to play perfect every single game.
I just don't think they're good enough right now.
And I think Washington, they're not as good as what they were last season. And I think New Jersey, they're just still a couple years away from
New Jersey needs to get into the playoffs healthy.
They do. They've been struggling with injuries. Jack
Hughes plays in that playoff series, it's different.
I don't know if they win, but it is different.
They missed him a lot.
And then in game one, they already had two defensemen go down.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? In the Western Conference, go ahead.
Vegas, mm-hmm. Dallas. I'll throw Edmonton in there still because they still have Connor McDavid, yep, for at least another year.
At least. He's hitting the open market.
And then I'll throw in a fourth, Colorado.
I like Dallas a lot still. Vegas for sure. Edmonton for sure. Those are the only three I'm throwing in there. I'm leaving out Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado, their depth's a little shaky, but I still got to give them the respect.
Of course. Yeah. You have McKinnon. You have Makar. I love Blackwood.
Landeskog's going to be back for a full season.
And he looked all right in the playoffs, of course. You know, he gets a full training camp now and a full season, mm-hmm, to really get his legs under him. I think the West is very, 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 very top heavy.
I think the East is as well. I think the Atlantic Division kind of runs the East, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I think Tampa Bay still has a good enough team. They at least have the firepower to make a run. You look in the West compared to the East, sure. You know, I just said it was top heavy, but a team like Vegas runs the West, right? Dallas runs the West. You have Colorado.
Well, right now, dangerous. Edmonton runs the West because they're back-to-back Western Conference
you're right.
champions.
Forgot about them. Yeah. Sorry. Not really a huge fan of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know you aren't, but
no, I'm for sure. I got to respect them. They're back-to-back Western Conference final champs. They have a shot to get back there again. And Stan Bowman, out of his own mouth, said that they are okay with their goalie situation. So,
well, what else can they do? They can't afford to trade for a goalie right now.
No, they can't.
They don't have cap space, and they don't have the assets to give up in a trade.
No. So
they're stuck with them for another year.
People that are flaming Stan Bowman for saying that, they don't understand that if he says
what do you want him
else,
to say no, and then Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard go like, what the fuck, dude?
Right. Like, you want to be behind your
players. You got to give your players confidence. What's he supposed to say?
He's going to be like, yeah, we're kind of looking into acquiring a goalie right now, but it's all up in the air. Like, no, what the? He'll get fired for that.
Yeah, but back to the playoff stuff. Like, Vegas, man, I don't know how they do it. Bringing in Mitch Marner, I don't know. Maybe they bring the Toronto Chris to Vegas. Maybe he was the issue and Toronto can finally get over. Because I think Toronto did have a really good offseason too. But Vegas, man, that top six. Oh, is it the best in the league?
Yes. Yeah. Gotta ask that. It is the best in the league, I think.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple top sixes. Like, I think Tampa's is really good. I think Florida's is really good. I think Dallas is really good. There's teams out there that can compete with Vegas' top six, but
I think Dallas is like a really hard contender too for like best top six.
It is. They have a very good top 12.
They have good depth. It's just they couldn't get it done against Edmonton.
Yeah.
Back-to-back years. But should we just go to our Stanley Cup final picks,
yeah,
I guess,
go
then?
Yeah, for it, I guess.
Florida-Vegas.
I was going to say the same thing.
Those two. Fucking. I don't see anyone beating Florida right now. They kept the band together. Barring a significant drop-off, I think, until someone beats them, I'm going to keep picking them.
I like Florida Vegas too right now. I think I'm going to pick Florida until they prove me otherwise. Yep. And I think Vegas' team, they're just getting Mitch Marner improved the team so much. And now, to spice things up a little bit, if I had to pick two other teams to outside of those teams, so I think the teams that I'm not going to necessarily say the conference finals because I think the other team is in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Maple Leafs,
I
can make it.
You. Yeah.
And then I think out
can
of the
imagine
West,
it was Toronto Vegas Stanley Cup final.
Fucking cinema, dude! That is cinema.
Do you think Mitch Marner would be able to handle playing a game in Toronto?
He'd get rocks thrown at him on the ice.
Oh my god! They probably have to have like the freaking army around the hotel.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. The Toronto fans are crazy. They would find the away team hotel and just fucking every time he'd walk outside, start heckling him.
Oh, you can't handle it, Mitch. You can't handle it.
They'd have Mitch Marner signing up crying.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. Out of the West, though, I think Edmonton's the other team I have to go with.
I'd say Edmonton or Dallas. I think Dallas. Yeah. Dallas is, I think, the Carolina of the Western Conference, where they go on deep runs every year. They just cannot get over the hump, and their hump is the Edmonton Oilers.
They can't get out of the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Rough. Let's hop into my top 10 wingers, and then we'll finish it off with your top 10 second overall picks of the last 20 years. So if you guys weren't here in the last episode, I go over my honorable mentions and then get into my top 10. Preston reacts to it, and then he tells me what the fuck happened to my list. Why is it so horrible? Honorable mentions for wingers out of four. I have Tage Thompson, Artemi Panarin, Jesper Bratt, William Nylander.
Nylander's an honorable mention?
Because of who I have number 10. Clayton Keller is number 10.
You're crazy. I like Clayton Keller. He is not a top 10 winger in the league.
Number 9, Brandon Hagel. 8, Sam Reinhart. 7, Kyle Connor. 6, Matthew Tkachuk. 5, Kirill Kaprizov. 4, Mikko Rantanen. 3, Mitch Marner. 2, David Pasternak. And number 1, Nikita Kucherov.
I mean, those top 6 guys, you can kind of interchange them.
Yeah.
I think Kirill Kaprizov should be top 3.
I was going to put him top 3, but, you know, I don't know. But I don't
Clayton
hate that.
Keller, the 10, you leave William Nylander off the list, and Panarin over Hagel.
Hagel's
good.
Hagel,
he's not a top 10 winger in the entire league.
Dude, people flamed you for not having Brayden Point in the top 10.
I don't care.
I wear them on my Tampa Bay Lightning fans. Come on.
Bandwagon. Name players from before they won the Stanley Cup, besides Stamkos.
That's valid.
No, William Nylander absolutely is in the top 10.
I think he's 11th.
No, he's better than freaking Clayton Keller, dude.
I think Keller's one of the...
You're
going to
get flamed for not putting Nylander in there.
Nope. Well, yeah, because Toronto Maple Leafs fans are all
over
the
fucking
world.
But he's a top 10 winger in the league.
Where'd you put him then? 10? 9?
Probably 7 or 8.
7 or 8? Over... Who would you put him over?
I'd put him over Reinhardt, Hagel, and Keller.
I think Reinhardt's better than Nylander.
Nylander, he's definitely top 10, though. I don't know. You're wild for not putting him on there.
I don't see the vision. I think Clayton Keller is one of the more complete two-way wingers in the league. I
disagree with you very hard on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, Tage Thompson, I'm fine with being I think Panarin is still a really great player, but yeah, Clayton Keller over William Nylander is...
That one I went over about 6 times.
Insane. I think you're just trying to get clickbait.
Nope. I love Keller. Love Keller.
Okay.
Right. I was gonna put Kaprizov top 3, but I was like, if I put him top 3, like, I'm gonna be seen as a fucking like bias, because, you know, I genuinely love Kaprizov. I think he's a top 5 talent for sure. But I mean, over guys like Rantanen, Marner, like, I don't know, Pasternak. Pasternak had as close to a Hart Trophy season as you could have last year too. So that's... I think I could have thrown Matthew Tkachuk higher too.
No, I think Tkachuk's fine. I mean, the players above him, I think Tkachuk's very much a playoff kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a great regular season player too. But yeah, this is like after like Sam Reinhart, like those guys are all top 10. Mm-hmm. It's just 9 and 10 are kind of for me.
That's fair. It's probably going to be like that the entire time, honestly, yeah, with you. Get into your second overall list.
Yeah, so we thought it'd be fun. We were trying to think of some ideas of kind of rankings lists we could do, you know, redrafts, stuff like that. I thought it'd be fun to do something a little different where we took a look at maybe, I wouldn't say forgotten, but it doesn't come straight to the top of your head when you're like, oh, who was the second overall pick in yada yada draft? Mm-hmm. Like, most people don't remember that for the most part. You usually remember the first round pick, overall picks, even in a bad one. Like, I will always remember that in the 2012 draft, Nail Yakupov was the first overall pick. A, because it was a horrible pick, and B, because he was the first overall pick. So I thought it'd be fun to do a top 10 list of the top 10 second overall picks since 2005, so the last 20 years. So they're all active in the NHL still. Well, depending, if there's a few players, second overall picks, well, at least one that had to retire due to injury, but he's not on the top 10, don't worry. So number 1, Michael Misa. No, just kidding. Starting at 10, 2018 draft, Andrei Svechnikov.
Okay.
Number 9, 2016, Patrick Laine. Number 8 from the 2006 draft, Jordan Staal. Number 7 from the 2011 draft, Gabriel Landeskog. Number 6, 2010, Tyler Seguin. Number 5 from 2014, Sam Reinhart. Number 4 from 2008, Drew Doughty. Number 3 from the 2015 draft, Jack Eichel. Number 2 from 2009, Victor Hedman. And number 1, this might be a little bit of recency bias, but I think...
Dude, you got, I knew it.
2013, Alexander Barkov.
I knew it. I would put Hedman over Barkov. I think
that's reasonable, but I think he's
wait. Did you have Drew Doughty in there?
Yeah, 4.
Okay. I probably didn't hear.
Yeah,
that,
my top 3 are Barkov, Hedman, Eichel, and Doughty. Doughty's 4.
Okay. I don't have issues with necessarily the players.
Well, after Svechnikov, there's like a pretty big drop off. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, there is. I think the top 10, like there's, and then the most recent ones, like you can't really put them in there because they haven't really played a lot.
Some of them haven't even played a game yet.
Right. So
yeah,
I definitely see the drop off. Like the top 10's fine with me. However, though, I would put Doughty ahead of Eichel. I think I'd switch those two.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Doughty's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You can always like put him higher on a list.
Did you have Bobby Ryan on there?
No.
I would put him over Svechnikov.
I wouldn't.
Really?
Bobby Ryan to me is, I don't know, I wouldn't call him a disappointing player. He was just a lot of wasted potential. He was on a bad Ottawa team for a long time. And you know, the Ducks teams he was on. Was he on the team when they won the Stanley Cup?
When they won the Stanley Cup was that 2007. I think he was. I'll double check that, but I'm almost 100% certain he was.
Yeah, and then Bobby Ryan and me. Like he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's just tough for me to like he's definitely like you can make an argument for him being like even pushing Laine off the list, but yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with him being a 10.
Yeah, he was on... Oh, no. No, he wasn't on the team. His first season was 07-08.
Okay.
So he wasn't on that team, but he was on some very good Anaheim Ducks teams. And I mean, I totally get not having him on the list, but I think he has had a better career than Svechnikov.
But Svechnikov still has a lot of career ahead of him.
Yeah, he does. And he has a ton of potential. This might be a little bit weird. I know... Bobby Ryan's play style was a little bit different than Svechnikov, clearly. But I think their two careers in terms of stats-wise, they might kind of be similar in a way, at least as the way that Svechnikov's trajectory is going right now.
I agree, yeah.
It could be a thing where I don't hate having Svechnikov above Bobby Ryan, but I just think Bobby Ryan's, he played 13 seasons, 14 seasons,
something like that.
He played 14 seasons. His longevity was nice, and overall I just think that he was one of the better players for the Ducks as they made it to the Western Conference Finals multiple times.
But then when he got to Ottawa, he was still pretty decent, but it was just on some middling teams. I know he was on that one team when they went to the Eastern Conference Final.
But I mean, in Ottawa, he wasn't that good though. His first two seasons, he was solid.
He had some off the ice issues as well.
Yeah.
Led to him missing some time, especially later in his career. It was a really good story. I think he had missed a bunch of games. He was in rehab, and then his first game back, I think he scored like 4 goals or something.
Yeah, he missed a lot of the 19-20 season due to being in rehab. He played 78 games in 18-19, and all of a sudden, during the summer, he was going through like some alcohol issues, and
I remember when he came back, and like, I think he scored. He had a hat trick at least in his first game back, and it was like, cool thing.
It was cool, and I don't hate your list at all. I just, those issues that I brought up, I think would just be a couple minor tweaks, but
again, yeah, I mean, maybe we can expand it to be like maybe 30 years into 20 next time, but I thought it was just a fun idea to mess around with. But I mean, you have some like Hall of Fame locks on this list, and you know, Victor Hedman, Drew Doughty, and I think Barkov's a lock for the Hall of Fame now as well.
I think Barkov is too. And I think, dude, Laine could be so much higher on this list if he just didn't deal with injuries.
Or
too.
Play on a really bad Columbus team.
That's also true.
Yeah.
I think Eichel has a chance to rise on this list for sure. I think Hedman's pretty much set there unless he...
Yeah, like, you can make it... I think Hedman, like, if you would have put him at 1, I wouldn't argue with you.
No. And I get your recency bias. You love Barkov.
Clearly. He's so good, dude. He's so good. You got to watch him off the puck, dude. He does everything right.
I knew Barkov was coming 1. The second, like, as you started to get lower, and I'm going through this list, I'm like, see Barkov at 2013, I'm like, he's going to put him 1. And then when you said Hedman, too, I'm like, he's going 1.
Yes, sir.
Let us know in the comment section. Do you guys agree with both of our lists?
In my defense for Barkov, I've been like, right, I've been on it before even they won the cups, I've been saying he's underrated.
Yeah. And Maybe he's overrated now. Just kidding, guys. That's
just bait. Just to pump him up a little bit more. I'll never forget this. I was at a Sabres game a couple years ago. Rookie Ryan Johnson. He's like a defensive prospect for the Sabres. They were playing the Panthers. He had the puck in his own corner, looking for an exit pass out of the zone. Didn't really have a lot of pressure on him. The Panthers were going for a change. And Barkov was the forechecker. And he just kind of, I don't think Johnson had any idea he was there. He just licks his stick up and passes to a guy wide open in the slot, all in one motion, in the back of the net. And Ryan Johnson was like, looked like he just saw a ghost. He's like, what the fuck?
So good. He is really good.
Oh, yeah. He's incredible.
I don't hate to take about him being a future Hall of Famer.
I think he's a lock for the
Hall of Fame. Especially after winning a second cup. He doesn't have a Conn Smythe, does he?
No, because McDavid won it, and then Bennett won it this year.
That's the only thing that's missing from him, but I don't think he needs a Conn Smythe.
I think he's like, he'll be a Selke finalist, I think, every year for the rest of his career.
He is so much like Bergeron.
I was about to say, he's the modern-day Patrice Bergeron, Anze Kopitar.
He is. And he might finish as a top three, not defensive, but just two-way forward of all time. Mm-hmm. He'll be up there with Kopitar and Bergeron and whoever else was a great defensive forward. I don't really know.
I'm going to gas Barkov up probably for the rest of his career, honestly.
Yeah, he'll be dropping 30-point seasons when he's 38 years old. Yeah, Barkov, he does so much out there.
I think even if he's playing at 38, he's still smart enough to know what to do.
Yeah. Oh, he
is. I think he can play like be like Jágr when Jágr was older, where Jágr is like, yeah, I'm not as fast as I used to be, but I know where to be, and I could still put up points.
That's what a lot of these players that have longevity do and that are good at it too. Like we see Crosby. Crosby's not nearly as fast, but you know what? He knows where to be on the ice.
Same thing with Ovi.
Yep. He knows where to be on the ice. Evgeny Malkin knows where to be. Like it's these greats that, and I think Barkov, like you said, has the potential to be 37 years old, putting up 50, 55, 60 point seasons, mm-hmm. but still playing his defense at a high level. Or maybe it turns into a thing where he's not worried about scoring. He's just turning himself into a true defensive forward.
He's the kind of player to me that I feel like would be willing to do anything it takes to win.
Yeah.
So that means, okay, like I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'll be a third line defensive forward and kill penalties.
Yeah. All right. That's enough dick riding for me for Barkov. You can keep going on if you want. But
I got nothing else to say about him.
That's going to end it for today's episode. If you guys enjoy all of our content, all of our socials are down below, as well as the subscribe button and notification bell. New episodes are out every single Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and I'll see you guys in our next episode.